Let's close our eyes and let's continue to pray. Our most gracious, glorious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to your presence with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts. We return all glory and honor and praise to you because you alone deserve it, Lord. Father, we want to say thank you for using all your children from the beginning to this time, Lord. But even as we continue to be at your feet, to listen from the throne of your grace, anoint each one of us, Lord, so that, Lord, we may listen and understand what is in store for us, Lord, what you have ordained for us on this day, so that, Lord, we can apply to our lives and, Lord, amend all those areas, Lord, where you will show us the weaknesses in our lives, so that we may bring glory to your name and we may bring glory to your holiness as well, Lord. Father, committing all of us into your hands with honor and glory and praise unto you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Greetings to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank God for this privilege the Lord has given to me to stand before you to share his precious word. Let's all open Paul's first epistle to Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 30. First epistle to Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 30. The Bible says, "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." We see that it is because of Jesus Christ who became for us all these three. It is Christ who became yours and mine redemption. It is Christ who became yours and mine righteousness. It is Christ who became yours and mine holiness. Even as we have already studied about our redemption and righteousness in my past two sermons, today we are going to meditate upon Christ's holiness upon you and me. And therefore, our title for this message, for today's message, is Christ our holiness. But to understand Jesus Christ becoming our holiness and why God decided for his son to become our holiness, we need to first go back to the understanding of the very holiness of God. Otherwise, we will not be able to understand Christ becoming our holiness. So the best place to start with to understand God's holiness is when the first human being or the first group of God's children, when they understood God's holiness. Let's open Exodus chapter 15. In Exodus chapter 15, Moses and the Israelites, after passing the Red Sea, after seeing God's glorious miracles in the land of Egypt, and the great miracle when God divided the Red Sea for the children of Israel to pass by, and the moment they passed by, when God closed out the Red Sea to drown all the enemies of Egypt, the Pharaoh's army, and then sprung a praise song from the mouth of all the Israelites. That's where the song of Moses and Miriam was recorded in Exodus chapter 15. We will go straight to verse 11, where the praise goes to the exaltation of God, wherein they say, "Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working in wonders?" Why did they say this one? What happened just before they sang this song? They saw the enemies of Egypt, or enemies from Egypt and Pharaoh, getting drowned in the sea in front of their eyes. Then they understood the judgment that came upon the Egyptian army is actually the holiness of God. Why did God judge them? Why did God punish the armies of Pharaoh? is because of his holiness. And then came a song from Moses and Miriam and all the Israelites saying that one, who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness? The splendor of his holiness they were able to understand for the first time as the children of Israel, or children of God. Awesome in glory, working wonders. The next place where we see a praise to the Lord's holiness is in the book of Revelation chapter 4 verse 8. Let's open Revelation chapter 4 verse 8. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So the angels who were praising God, they were praising when, how long? They were praising perpetually the holiness of God. When it says the day and night, it never ceases. So the perpetuality of a praise to his holiness is recorded because the angels are praising God. The angels are called as holy angels, not because they are praising the holiness of God, because they conform to the holiness of God. That's why they are called as holy angels. And these holy angels are praising God in one voice, day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy. Why three times? Why not only holy, holy? Because we see in all the Bible that whenever there is an emphasis, there is a repetition of a word twice. And there is only one place in the majesty of his holiness, God said to the angels that you need to praise me thrice. It's a treble. Nowhere in the Bible it is mentioned three times any word. It is only the holiness of God that is mentioned three times, which is holy, holy, holy. The emphasis is increasing, and it is increasing to infinite times because God's holiness is infinite. When Isaiah, when he saw God in his vision, chapter 6, verse 3, and the same angels were calling to each other, and they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. So what does they equate the glory on this earth? The glory on this earth is nothing but the holiness of the Lord God Almighty. So it is this majestic holiness God wants us to understand before we understand how Christ became our holiness. Let's open Psalm 27 verse 4. In Psalm 27 verse 4, the psalmist says that, David says that, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. So David, when he expresses his desire to be in the house of the Lord, to be in the tabernacle of the Lord, because David never saw the temple of God which was built by Solomon. All the life of David was spent in the tabernacle of God, which God has ordained Moses to build it. And David, when he wants to express his desire, he said, I want to be in this tabernacle of God. Reason is, I want to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. He brought a beautiful word, which is the word beauty itself. When do we use the word beauty in our lives? It's a very specific word, right? The beauty is a very majestic word, a word of splendor. We use it when we express something that delights our eyes when we see it. So is David seeing God in person? Did David see God in a physical attire there in the temple? No, we know God is spirit. And we, his worshippers, must worship God in spirit and in truth. So David in the tabernacle had never seen God in a shape of a man or anything. But yet he says that I want to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Why? Let's go to 2 Chronicles 20 and 21. We will understand more. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 21, the Bible says, and when he had consulted the people, this is talking about Jehoshaphat, He appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. So Jehoshaphat ordered them to sing, that they should praise the beauty of the holiness. So when the same word beauty is used, now Jehoshaphat is using it for the holiness. So now we understand that David, when he wants to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, what is he gazing upon? Yes? Holiness. So he is gazing upon the holiness of God. He wanted to see, he wanted to delight in the holiness of God, because a temple is the place where God's righteous judgments are manifested. David knows that one. David is the one who brought many, many, many sacrifices unto the Lord. Even on the way to the temple, in the temple, there is a daily sacrifice. He knew that the sacrifice is given because it satisfies temporarily the wrath of God, the justice of God, the holiness of God. He knew the importance of holiness. He knew the beauty of the holiness which is in the tabernacle of God. That's why David says, it's my delight, it's my desire to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord in the tabernacle. Isaiah 64, 11 says, our holy and beautiful temple where our fathers praised you, it is burned up with fire. This is after they were given the punishment of scattering. Isaiah says that one, it was our holy and beautiful temple. Once we used to go there, it was holy, it was beautiful, but because of our sin, God made us go away from the temple. It was burned because it was God's judgment. So the temple is always holy, and God's holiness is manifested in the temple then, and today it is your very own body, my body. So the beauty of the holiness is what we are looking into. God's holiness is likened unto beauty, because that is the most delightful attribute of God. No attribute comes closer to holiness when it describes God. God is sovereign. God is almighty. God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. But none of these attributes even comes closer to the attribute of holiness, because holiness is the crown of all the attributes of God. Because God manifests everything because of his holiness. God cannot tolerate any evil. God does not create any evil. God does not incite any evil. God does not secretly induce any evil to anything in this creation at all. That's God's holiness. And that's the reason all his manifestations are because of his holiness. Whether it is his power, whether it is wisdom, whether it is his omniscience, everything must be from the root of the holiness. If there is no holiness, there is no God. Because the holiness is his very life. If you say Ephesians chapter 4 verse 18, the Bible says, Paul instructing the Ephesian believers, he says this one in chapter 4 verse 18 of Ephesians. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. Paul says all the humans in their sinful nature are separated from the life of God. Does God have life? Yes, God has life. He is a living God. And what is his life? His life is nothing but his holiness. No life, what do we call humans? You are a dead person. The blood is your life. No blood, no life, you are dead. And to understand, if no holiness, there is no God. God sees us to be God if he is not holy. That's the reason God says, when he swears, I swear by my holiness. There is nobody greater than God. God says that, I swear by my holy name. I swear by myself when I give a promise, because there is no one greater than me. And when he swears, he also swears with holiness, which means if my holiness goes away from me, that's the day I will not fulfill your promise to you, Abraham or David. When he gives the promises to Abraham and David, I swear by my holiness. Let's open Psalm 89, verse 35 to 37. Psalm 89, 35 to 37, the Bible says, "Once for all I have sworn by my holiness, and I will not lie to David, that his line will continue forever, and his throne endure before me like the sun. It will be established forever like the moon, the faithful witness in the sky." The book of Amos 4, verse 2. Let's go to Amos chapter 4, verse 2. "The sovereign Lord has sworn by his holiness, the time will surely come when you will be taken away with hooks, the last of you with fish hooks." This is the judgment. Whether he is giving a promise or whether he is giving a judgment, because it is a sure one which is going to happen, God is telling, I'm swearing it by my holiness. If only my holiness departs from me, that this thing will not happen, what I have decreed. You understand the importance of holiness. God himself, this is my very own nature, this is my life. It is intrinsic to me, more than anything of me. Whether it's power or anything, whether it's wisdom, my holiness is at the helm of my being. So every attribute of the Godhead, we see it is the purity or the holiness that is the splendor of God. Right? Holiness is the crown of all his attributes. When we see his justice, it is his holy justice. When we see his wisdom, it is his holy wisdom. When we see the power by which God manifests and brings many of his children out of danger, out of the wars, out of any of the victories he gives to them, it is by his power, and God calls this power as his holy power. Let's go to Psalm 98, verse 1. The book of Psalm 98 verse 1 says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done a marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him." So as we understood, every manifestation of his power, there is a reason why God is doing that one. That is because of his holiness. If I have to bring you out of the enemy, or if I need to save you, I need to save you from the clutches of your enemy, there is something which is driving me, which is my holiness. For everything, the root is the holiness of God. Not only that, when we see, he gives when a promise, God says, because of my holiness, I give this promise. All the promises he gave in Christ is because of his holiness. Because it meets God's holiness for God to send Jesus Christ for all of us, so that Christ can die on behalf of you and me for us to be redeemed. It justifies God's wrath. It pleases God's holiness. We see in Psalm 105, verse 39 to 42. When we go to Psalm 105, verse 39, verse 39 to 42, the Bible says, "He spread out a cloud as a covering and a fire to give light at night. They asked, and he brought them quail. He fed them well with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It flowed like a river in the desert." This is all the exodus of the Israelites when they were recalling in this great Psalm 105. When they come to the end, on the middle, they say in verse 42, "For he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham." So why was the exodus of Israelites so beautiful, that they were able to see the miracles and the hand of God leading them and guiding them from the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan? It was all because God had promised Abraham, his servant, because of his holiness, that one day I will make you a nation and all nations will be blessed. That's my promise, because my holiness must be manifested through you, the nation Israel, and through your loins, O Abraham, and faithful children will come out of you through the seed, which is Jesus Christ. Do you see that there is a root for all that has happened in the lives of Israel? The root is God's holiness. All promises are because of God's holiness. That's why God calls it as holy promise. He calls his strength as holy arm. His justice is holy justice. His wisdom is holy wisdom. So be all these attributes, they all emanate from God's holiness, which is a separation from all evil, all wickedness. How long? What is the extent of his holiness? So we need to understand that aspect also. So what is the extent of God's holiness? So we understand when we see Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13. Let's all go to Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13. The Bible says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Habakkuk says that when your eyes are too pure to look upon evil, you cannot tolerate wrongdoing. What does that mean? Something I cannot do, which means it is my nature. When God says he cannot tolerate wrongdoing, which means it is impossible for God to approve of any evil or tolerate any evil, which means holiness is a necessity for God. So God is necessarily and essentially holy. Understand this when I'm repeating. God is necessarily and essentially holy, which means he is not a God if he is not holy. There is no definition of God if there is no holiness in God. That's why the whole world, when they manifest many of the gods, small g, in this world, the only thing that misses is the holiness. Rest everything they try to impart. But what misses is holiness, which is the attribute of only the true God. So God is necessarily and essentially holy. So that's the nature of God. Number two, how much does God tolerate wrongdoing? Okay, let's say I can tolerate wrongdoing for a certain extent, and then I will not tolerate, or I will tolerate a little evil. Does he say that one? No. God cannot tolerate evil at all, which means God is intensely holy. Number one, God is necessarily and essentially holy. Number two, we need to understand that God is intensely holy, which means he hates the evil to the infinite degree of it. Let's open Zechariah chapter 8 verse 17. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 8 verse 17, do not plot evil against each other and do not love to swear falsely. I hate all this. So God says that it is his intense hatred towards evil that he cannot tolerate any evil. Amos 5:21. The book of Amos chapter 5 verse 21. The word of God says, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Why is God saying so intensely here? Because he hates it with an intense degree of hatred. All evil. There is nothing that God hates lightly, or he tolerates something and allows something. So we need to understand that every evil, every sin is hated by God intensely. So God is necessarily and essentially holy, and God is intensely holy. And God is perpetually holy, which means God is not holy for some time, 1 year, and one day he allows everybody to sin, and then again after that one he again becomes holy. Is it so? Absolutely not. When God is holy, he is holy for eternity. The Bible says in Psalm 7:11. Let's open the word of God in the book of Psalm chapter 7 verse 11. God is a righteous judge, a God who displays his wrath, how long? Every day. So God's holiness is not only intense, His holiness is perpetual. He displays His wrath every day. Whenever He sees any wrongdoing, His wrath flares up. He cannot tolerate evil. He hates it intensely. He hates it permanently to eternity. That is the reason the holy angels were crying out in front of the throne, praising God, saying that, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." They were praising it day and night. His holiness never stops. His praise never stops. And that's with you and me. This is the nature of God that we need to understand when we worship God in His purity and His holiness. That's exactly what Moses understood during his Exodus. That's what David understood when he was worshiping in the temple. That's what Jehoshaphat understood when he ordered his men to bring praise unto the Lord. They knew the beauty of the holiness. So if you want anyone to draw a picture of a human being, what do they draw? Do they draw my hand or my muzzle or my brain? When you ask anybody to draw you, they will draw what? They will draw your face. Isn't it true? All of us have all the body parts. What is unique in us? Your face is unique in each one of us. That's why when God is spirit, God wanted us to understand through His created being of us. That's why God says, "I have saved you with my power, with my arm, with my right hand I have protected you." Does God have a right hand? No, God do not have any hand. God does not have a body at all. God is spirit. But still God likens Himself in the manner of our make so that we can understand, because I have the power in my hand, I have the wisdom in my mind inside, and I have a beauty in my face. That's why the psalmist says that when I want to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, where is the beauty of the Lord? Nothing else but in His holiness. So His holiness is the beauty. That's why the psalmist praised Him. We must praise His beauty, which is His holiness. And how do God manifest His holiness? God is holy Himself. Not only is He holy, He is holiness Himself, but His holiness is manifest also. Where do we see God's holiness manifest in this universe? First time when the Israelites received the Mosaic law, the manifestation of the holiness was given to them in a transcript. The whole Mosaic law, the moral law, was the manifestation of God's holiness. That's why the book of Romans, Paul's epistle to Romans chapter 7 verse 12 says that, "Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment is holy, just and good." Why Paul is emphasizing that law and the commandment two times? He's telling the law is holy, the commandment is holy. It doesn't mean that because you are not able to perform it, not able to conform it, it becomes unholy. It is a holy commandment. That is a requirement of God. All His holiness now, if you want to see it in a manifested transcript, go to the Mosaic law. You will see the holiness of God manifested in the Mosaic law. So in the moral law, the do's and don'ts for every human being that God has given, the commandments, the manifestation of holiness is given. Not only in the moral law, we see God's holiness manifest in the ceremonial law as well. In the Mosaic law, there is a moral law, there is a ceremonial law. Because God in His wisdom, He has ordained a time that His Son should come later to be a perfect sacrifice for all the sin. But until that time, God gave a ceremonial law for the nation of Israel. In that ceremonial law, what do we see? We see God's holiness was constantly expressed in the continual daily sacrifices. Is it not true? Didn't God ordain or command the Israelites to do a daily sacrifice, a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice? It's a perpetual sacrifice. Not a day they should miss out. Otherwise, God's wrath would flare up on Israel. The reason why God ordained is that he wants to manifest his holiness, because only by this his wrath is soothed. So that's why God's holiness is manifest not only in the moral law, it is in the ceremonial law, it's a perpetual law until Jesus Christ came and died for all of us so that he can become a permanent sacrifice to put an end to the ceremony. So in the sacrifice there is holiness. In the daily sacrifice until Christ came, and when Christ came, the perfect sacrifice, in his sacrifice, God's holiness is manifested. God's holiness is manifested in the promises he gave to the nation of Israel and all human beings. If you obey the law, these are your blessings. If you don't obey this law, these are the curses. God gave them a promise as well as a threatening of the following of the law. If they don't follow, there is a threat by God, which means they will get a curse if they do not follow. That is because of God's holiness. God's holiness is manifest in the promises and the threats God gave to the nation of Israel. Time and again, God punished the people on this earth to show his justice and holiness. He did not punish permanently. If he would have punished Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, there would be a cessation of creation itself. If God would have punished Noah also along with everybody in the flood, there would be a cessation. And in the book of Exodus, if God would have punished the entire nation of Israel for their wrongdoing, there would be a cessation of the nation of Israel itself. But God, in his forbearing patience, he allowed the people to live, but time and again he showed his holiness by the judgments he has given. So his holiness is manifested in the temporal punishments as well. Not to forget the sacrifices which are covering these temporal judgments. If there was no sacrifice or daily sacrifice, God cannot allow anybody to even live one moment on this earth. So there was a sacrifice, there was an eternal sacrifice of Jesus Christ that covers all human beings on this earth, you and me, including all the generations. But God shows his holiness by showing that I will punish wickedness when it crosses the limit. So thereby we see God's holiness is evident in the moral law, ceremonial law, in the promises and the warnings he has given, and also in the judgments he inflicted on all the people across the generations. Not only that, now, how are we behaving in the majestic presence of Holy God? We means all the human beings. What hurts God's holiness? This is imperative for us to understand, for us to worship God in true purity. To give an example, God's holiness is hurt in an unworthy representations of God and the imaginations of him in our minds, even as we are studying the book of Romans, how men from the beginning had vain imaginations of God and debased him to the creation of this world. Not only that, when we were created in the image of God, we ourselves deface the image of God with our filthy souls or with our filthy sinful nature. The very image of God is defaced in us. And that is a hurt, that is a grief to the Holy Spirit God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God is the commandment God has given to us. But how humans, the believers and the unbelievers, how do they inflict injury to God's holiness is with these things. The holiness of God is hurt in charging our sin upon God. The very first man, Adam, when he was confronted by God, what did he say? The woman you gave me has given me this fruit and then I ate it. So he wanted to blame God for giving that woman who gave him the fruit for him to sin. It grieves the holiness of God when humans charge their sin upon God. God, you allowed sin somewhere in this world. That's why sin is in this world. That's why I'm sinning. It's you to be blamed. It's not me. Is it not true? How many people say this one in this world? People charge their sin upon God. That's a hurt. That's an injury to God's holiness. God's holiness is hurt when men twist the holy word of God to justify their sins. People try to find out which scripture allows me to continue my sin so that I can say the scripture is already there. Somebody lied in the past in the Old Testament, God allowed it, let me also lie. Somebody said in the Old Testament, our body is only for eating, to be merry, to drink. That's what is written, let me be merry. How is man doing this one? He's twisting the word of God to actually justify his own sin. That hurts God, that injures God. The holiness of God is hurt when men will put up petitions to God to favor them in a personal earthly desires. James 4 verse 8 says, you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. People pray, believers pray. Not every believer pray rightly. The reason is because they have an agenda in their minds. They ask God, God, give me this one. I want to behave holy so that you give me all the things in the agenda. In the back of their mind, they want to consume it on their own lust. The Bible says that one. It hurts the holiness of God. It is an injury to the holiness of God. The holiness of God is hurt by our unprepared approaches to God. How many times we come casually to the presence of God, thinking that God is a holy God, God is a good God, he will not say anything. But unpreparedness is an injury to God's holiness. He gets hurt, he grieves when we come to the presence of God. When we do something anyhow, we chit-chat, we laugh in the presence of God. We do chewing gums in our mouth. We open our phones. I'm talking about this current generation. In the past, people used to come with a filthy lives to God's presence. God says, no, I cannot commune with you. When I am holy, how can I commune with an unholy person? The reason why I gave my image to you all is that you can be like me so that I can commune with you. So this is the holiness of God which we ignorantly, knowingly injure it, hurt it, grieve God's holiness. The holiness of God is hurt in our opinion of so-called understandable sins, the lighter sort of sin. Some people say that one, this sin is not a big sin. This sin can be tolerated by God because it's my opinion. I am giving an opinion of God himself. I am defining God, that God is a very, very loving God. Some sins God will tolerate. He will not punish me eternally. He will only punish me temporarily. Who is defining it? It's me who is defining it. And God's holiness is hurt when you give an opinion of God other than what God has given himself in the word of God. So after we understood the magnificence and the majesty and the infinite holiness of God, here comes what we must do. It's imperative, correct? What we all learned is about our past. But where are we now? We are in Christ Jesus, the blessed Savior of our souls. Amen? Amen. So now everything will change now. All that you have heard now is our past. But there is a duty, there is a call for a spiritual duty for you and me now. In the last 15 minutes or so, we will go through this one. Okay. The conformity to the holiness should not be a pretense. Very important. Many of us, what to do is, when I say I am holy, I will only do a pretense of holiness. A conformity to the holiness of God should be a practical and a real holiness. It should be a reality in your and my life. Because God is the precept for all holiness. He is the Holy One. When He is pure, real holiness, how can you and me a pretense of the holiness? Because He has given you and me an image. Not only that, our decision to be holy should not be an emotional outburst of admiration of him. Sometimes what happens is in sermons or in messages, what we do is we see a song, we hear a word of God, suddenly there will be an outburst of emotion. Emotionally we say, I will decide I will be holy. But God says, no, I don't want an emotional decision. I want you to have a settled, firm, heartful decision, a spiritual decision that I want to continue in a settled manner towards the holiness of God. It is not for your person who is beside you, not for the pastor, not for anyone. It is God who seeks this holiness in you. So your accountability is toward God. God asks you to be a settled person, which means you have to be sober decision maker of yourself, that I will follow the holiness of God in reality and in practice, not in pretense. And who is the model for all this one? Can you do it on your own? You cannot. That's the reason the Bible says Christ our holiness. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God, who is our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. And Christ has bought us with the precious blood so that you and I can become the holiness. How is my righteousness achieved? Did I attain it by myself? It was imparted to me by Christ so that I can live practically in righteous ways. You understand this when you understand the fountain of life. Jesus Christ is the fountain of all life, right? The life is his holiness. He is the fountain. Springs of living waters flow out of you, because the spring is who? The spring is Jesus Christ. When you go out and enjoy a stream of clean water, you drink it, you play in the stream water, you never think about from where the stream is coming. If suddenly the spring from where this beautiful stream is coming, that spring stops forth, or if the stream gets disconnected from the fountain, will the stream flow? In very few moments later, the stream will dry up, correct? The stream does not have the water on its own. The stream is a representation of a fountain. We have seen, as we sung a song, there is a throne in heaven from where there is a river that flows. That river's origin is Jesus Christ. That gives life and health. Is it not true? Is it not what we sung? That gives life and health. What is life? That gives holiness to you and me. So only Jesus Christ is the source of all holiness. I am the vine and you are the branches. Anyone who abides in me will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you see the source of all righteousness and holiness? It is Christ himself. So when you want to be practically holy and realistically holy, the first thing you need to go is stay at the feet of Jesus Christ and then receive the fountain, which means you stay in the relationship with the Lord all the time. As long as you are in relationship, so long you will be holy, you will be righteous. All your righteous acts and your holiness emanate from the very fountain of life, who is Jesus Christ, who is the vine. If the root is holy, the branches are holy. So as the law, the Mosaic law, is a transcript of God's holiness, Jesus Christ is the image of that holiness. Initially, God gave a transcript of all his holiness. When Christ came and gave us the new covenant in Christ, who is the very image of holiness, he is the image of the invisible God. And God is holiness, Christ is holiness. And we see Christ as our holiness, as a pattern we follow him. And then we live practically and realistically away from all the sin of this world. Because it is what God commanded us. Right? Did he command any one of us to be mighty as he? Be mighty as I am mighty. Did you see anywhere in the Bible? Be wise as I am wise. You will not see it. Because you cannot have that strength. When God is infinitely strong, can you be infinitely strong like God? You can't. But the holiness, God says, I want you to be holy as I am holy. You have to come towards my holiness. Because that's my desire, that's the life I have, that's the image I have created you in, not the strength, not the wisdom, not my sovereignty, or not my eternity. You are not sovereign as God. You can never be God. Even in the holiness, you can never attain infinite holiness. Your holiness must be within God's holiness, reaching towards God's holiness. Because that is his desire and command. There is no other command given to man except the command of be holy as I am holy. Holiness is the prime way of honoring God. which means you want to honor God, it is not with your external appearances. It is not with our proclamation of our words alone. Sometimes what we do is we go by elevated admirations of God, eloquent expressions, pompous services as well. But God says, I am more pleased when you come to me, when you approach me with holiness in your life. Nothing is so sweet to God than our holiness that will please Him. Isn't it true? When we just stop and think what all we do. And holiness is mandatory for us because it is the excellency and the beauty of a creature. We say ourselves as excellent men and virtuous women. So God says, 100% true, you are all excellent and virtuous because of Jesus Christ. And God says that one, I want you to be practically and realistically excellent. So the excellency comes by holiness alone. Holiness is the definition. The excellency and virtuousness and the virtue. Not only that, the holiness is our very life. Even as holiness is the life of God, you and me were given a new life in Jesus Christ. You are created anew. So our very life is now the holiness. God said, I will give you life and life abundantly. A mind that is following the Spirit, a mind that is led by the Spirit is what? Mind of Christ students? Anybody? The mind that is led by the Spirit is? Please, all of you are Mind of Christ students once at least. You should never forget this beautiful word. The mind that is led by the Spirit is life and peace. That life is nothing but holiness. That's why it is, holiness is an evidence of life in you. Holiness is an evidence of Holy Spirit God in you. So important to understand. The name of the Spirit of God is Holy Spirit. What best evidence Holy Spirit God will give you if Holy Spirit God is in you? Isn't the fruit of the Spirit the evidence of the Holy Spirit in you? I beg you, I urge you to understand this one. Isn't the fruit of the Spirit that is the evidence of the Holy Spirit in you? Let us not be locked up in the systems. When we understand the truth of the Word of God, things will be crystal clear when God reveals His beauty of His holiness in us. God's desire is that you and me be holy, not just in word or in expressions externally, but in practice and in reality. That's very, very important for us because it is imperative, it is mandatory for us to move in the holiness of God. Each one of us might have one or other, because I have told you how many ways we injure God. Not everyone injures or hurts God in the same way, in all ways. You must find yourself where you are in this message when God said that, yes, you are injuring my holiness. Where? You need to identify yourself. You need to make covenant with yourself, saying that, one, this I will not continue. This area I will amend myself by the power of Christ's holiness, by the power of what Christ has achieved for me on the cross, by the relationship I have with Jesus Christ. From the fountain of the holiness, I will receive holiness. From the root, from the vine, I will receive the fruit. The goodness of the fruit is the evidence of not the branch, am I right? What is the goodness of the fruit is the evidence of what? It's the goodness of the root. If you are holy, men will praise God, not you. That's what God says. When you love one another, the world will know that you are my disciples. Who will get praise when you are holy? It's not you. Because you are only the branch and the fruit. A branch in itself does not have anything to support itself. You are getting it from the root. You are getting it from the fountain. So be connected to the fountain. Be attached to the vine always. be always in the right relationship with Jesus Christ, then you will be realistically and practically holy. As I mentioned earlier, holiness is the only thing that fits for communion with God. If God wants to be in union with us, God only sees the holiness attribute. Number one, Christ must be your holiness. If there is no Christ, no human is holy. No one can approach God without Christ. Which means without acknowledging Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, no human can even approach God. God communes with us through the holiness of Jesus Christ. Not only that, God is asking, you also have to be practically and realistically holy when you commune with me. How can I, God says this word, how can I, being of infinite holiness, commune with something unholy? I don't want it, but I want you to be holy because I have given it to you. Now put on your new self. That's what Paul says in Corinthians. He says, put on your new self, which is created like God in righteousness and holiness. So don't think that you are not having that power or not having that ability. That ability is given you through Christ, because in Christ you were made like God. You know, it is not the godliness Paul is talking about. It is the holiness Paul is talking about. If at all God has given anything to us, same like his image, it is the holiness. It's the life of God that is in you. When you were created anew in Jesus Christ, you received back your holiness. Adam lost it. And so will you lose it if you lose your connection with Jesus Christ. Is it not true? Because you cannot uphold it with your own self. Once you are created anew in Jesus Christ, you are perpetually upheld by God's holiness. You understand this one? Many people have a question, what is the guarantee in eternity that I will not sin? God's word gives you guarantee that you will never sin. No holy angel will ever sin in the eternity, because it is God's holiness who will uphold it for perpetually in eternity. It's a promise of God, and he swore by his holiness. Do you think it will go away? It's impossible. So with that assurance, God is saying, even in this life, you have to start becoming like me in nature, because I have created a new even in your corrupted physical body. So it is a duty, not an emotional one, it's a spiritual duty to listen to the Holy Spirit God, to be led by the Spirit of God, to avoid all kinds of filthiness in this world. There are two scriptures. In conclusion, I will give these scriptures to you. Second Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 to 18, the Bible says, Paul exhorting to the Corinthians mentions, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 to 18 says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with unbeliever? Or what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate. This is the glorious commandment God is giving to all of us this day. As I told you, this is not a sermon or a message to be taken only for a temporary decision. Please do not do it. Please think about it personally. No one is accountable to other person. You are all accountable to God alone. That's very important. First. So when God said, read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 to 18, which area I am mixing the things? I'm trying to say that when God allows this mixture, I can go into this world and live. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4 says that one, come out of her, my people, God is referring to Babylon. List out and read all those things in the book, in the chapter 18, where God says that one. Identify how it is manifested in the current world for you. Then take a decision. Take a decision understanding the holiness of God. How intensely God is holy, how perpetually God is holy, how necessarily and essentially God is holy, how universally God is holy. God does not favor any person. God is not a respecter of any person. God hates evil in everybody, sin in everybody. So it's a duty for us to identify. How will you identify? When you are in relationship with Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ will empower you with the Holy Spirit God's power, and through the Holy Spirit God, you will discern what is wicked in the sight of God, and you will come out of it by the grace and the power of God in Jesus' name. Let's close our eyes. Just meditate upon the word of God the Lord has brought to each one of us. I need to introspect myself. You need to introspect yourself and retrospect yourself. Where am I in the call of holiness by God to me? Forget about the past. God is inviting you afresh to take a covenant with your eyes, with your mouth, with your ears, with your hands and legs, with your entire body, that Lord, I will be your temple so that you may dwell in me and you will receive glory through me. Take this covenant as a prayer today and every day, and continue in the relationship of the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you for this time which you have given us. Thank you for the word which you have sent forth to us from heaven, Lord. Help us, Lord, to meditate upon this day and night, and help us to glorify your name all the days of our life. To you alone be the glory, because you alone are holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. There is no God beside you. There is none like you. We return all the glory and honor and praise unto you, Lord. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Shall we all arise and let us share the grace together in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Go in the holiness of the Lord.